anything that seems like it is detracting from your life essence, is something to be investigated. And so a question that I have for you in this moment that I invite you to inquire about is, what are you? What are you really? Are you a thought? Are you existing in the mind? Like, what are you really? Are you a thought form? Are you a set of mental patterns? Or are you essence? Something far beyond thought. Are you the essence of life? Life, capital L. So that's an interesting question for you. What are you?
Playing with my microphone here real quick with my sound. Okay, I'm liking the pronunciation with this position of the microphone. So, paying attention to what is detracting from our essence. And recognizing that while the mind and while the mental realm is supportive in navigating this reality, too much involvement there and getting sucked into that is something that can detract and further fragment our essence, i.e. our life, what we really are. I won't speak for you, right? I'll speak for myself. I know myself as that. In truth, I am that. I am essence. I am not mind. Not fully. I am life. And there have been experiences on my journey, thankfully, that have proven to me that I am something so vast, so deep, so rich, so full, that is far beyond the mind. To the point where mind doesn't even exist. There is no mind. And so I'm thankful that I have those experiences that have really been able to serve as a reference point for me, and that they've served a reference point for my awareness. And so awareness and sensitivity are tools. Awareness and sensitivity are tools. I don't see awareness and sensitivity as the same thing. In my experience, I am aware of my senses, and my senses inform me about phenomena in my field and what is going on versus what is going off. The things that are going off, we can consider as the detractions, the fragmentations, the getting caught up into some mental loop. And this doesn't have to be demonized or pushed away or rejected because it just happens, right? Like thoughts just happen, right? Whenever you're not like just in a complete total state of no mind, you know, touching God 100% of the day, you know? So we don't have to demonize the mind, although this perspective and this reminder to inquire as to what it is that we really are, can be supportive whenever we zoom out and look at many of the things in this reality where if we are not careful, if we are not aware, we can be detracted from our essence, our life, what we are in truth. A divine spark from the living God. Living, like I repeat, living. And seeing my life as something that exists beyond time. It's timeless. My life is timeless. And I invite you to because I recognize this within myself, actually. I recognize that it can actually be difficult to think of eternal life. Like what is like what does it mean to live eternally? Like it can actually be perplexing for the mind itself to consider what that even means. Like how would it be possible to live forever, quote unquote, right? And what I invite you to consider is a very simple question. My assumption is that many times in your life, in your lifetime, in this lifetime, you've had many experiences of feeling very connected with your life, you know, however you, with the life that you are, right? However you may experience that, maybe that's just a feeling of love, a feeling of connection, joy, play, fun, peace, whatever it is. Maybe you were doing something in particular. Maybe you were on plant medicines. Maybe you're having fun with family, whatever it may be, right? Well, I consider, maybe you're on a roller coaster, right? I consider you, or maybe you're in a flow state playing sports, right? The list could go on. You're doing one of your favorite things. Maybe you're drawing. Maybe you're meditating. I don't know. In these moments, was there a thought of time? Like, were you bound by time? Or were you just essence? And time was literally an afterthought. Just something to consider. So again, the only reason why I can even conceive of the idea or even see truth in the reality that I exist beyond time, like as a life, as something living, as something conscious, as something that exists. Being able to conceive of that and to see truth in that has come from certain experiences that have given me a reference point. And so, what I was originally called to share here about is, what does it actually mean to lose one's soul? And this is something that I've been sifting through for several months now. Like, what does that mean? And I think it's something important to talk about, especially now when there is clearly a war on consciousness. There's no question about that. Now, I'm not going to say that the war on consciousness is the truth with a capital T. It is true with a lowercase t. It is a reality. It is real. It is very real. Although it is not capital T truth. So that's a distinction that's important for me to make, even in my own life, so as to not get caught up in a spiritual warfare narrative where I'm only seeing opposition and war and ending up in this fight or flight hyper-vigilant state where I'm constantly protecting myself from something that I'm perceiving outside of me that's going to take me away from my soul when I already am it. Like, by allowing my consciousness to get wrapped up into mind, right? Into mind, into mental construct of there's war, there's war, there's war, there's war, there's war. Well, that in and of itself is the detraction from my essence, from the life, connection with God, inner union with God that I already am now. I already am it. I promise you, the further you continue on this path, which I trust that you will, if you're listening to the show, the further that, I'll speak for myself, the further that I've traveled on this path, the more trust that I have acquired in, like, inner union with God and and anchoring this seemingly something that So I remember whenever I was first like really getting into plant medicines, psilocybin in particular, mushrooms, that was the main reference point for me. Several years ago, where I was like, because before that, I was very much into personal development and self-help and reading books and starting businesses and, just improving myself, working out, into nutrition, into even into meditation and things like that, breath work even. I was really doing my best. I was on the path, for sure. And once plant medicines came on my radar for the period of time that it did, that really showed me for the first time of like, this is what I was looking for all along, through all the practices, like, this is it. This is the North Star. This is it. I am it. And that created, I think I did them probably 5 times in total. I'll just repeat, North Star. They created a frame of reference where it's like, okay, I know where God is. I know where God is. I know what my life is, like capital L. I know that I am it. I am the life. I am the spark. And so I'm very grateful for those frames of reference and how they have supported me. And I declared many times, and I truly believed this, I believed this to be true, that those states of being, because what was really interesting about those states of being is that they felt that they could go forever. Why is that? Because it was I was in a space. I was knowing myself, embodied as myself from a place of eternity. And so it was wild because I was like on the medicine, and there came a certain point where I was like, I feel like this could just like keep going on forever. Like, why does it have to stop? That's literally what it felt like. Like, or that's what I perceived. And it's also what it felt like. It was like, I feel like this could just keep going. Like, why would it have to stop? And so I'm grateful that the medicines really showed me, like, you know, like, here's the thing, because it's like whenever I say eternal life, my mind will never be able to grasp it because the mind is linear. It's only known on a cellular level. That's why as I've been speaking on this podcast, there have been certain points where I've even judged myself like, fuck, what is eternal life? Right? And it's like my cells know. My cells know, and it's a process of remembering and of embodiment, of integration, of cultivation, of consciousness, of awareness. And so, with these frames of reference, I made the declaration, and I was like, I after those experiences, after they kind of wore off, right? I was like, I know it's possible for me to anchor those states of being in my sober reality. I just know it. Because that's how true it was. It was true. Like, the medicines reminded me that I am it. That I am the medicine. They were guides. And so I'm grateful to experience a reality more and more often where the depth of love and inner union and gratitude and fullness and wholeness whilst being in a sober state. You know, I haven't done weed, alcohol, plant medicines, anything in 2.5 to 3 years. And it is profound, and I'm profoundly grateful for the experiences of embodiment that I'm able to have on a regular basis, and experiencing that union with something so true, something so eternal. And so I'm just a message that this is possible. No, I haven't arrived in a linear sense, because it's not a linear path. One can perceive it that way, although, and I mentioned this in my previous episode, the linearity of it, the mind, can get in the way. Even if you consider yourself the most whatever, the most aware, spiritual, whatever, you think about how you're on this spiritual path and you think you're getting to God because you're fasting every day and you're going to these yoga retreats and you're, you know, whatever, like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That can be distracting. So this conversation today
I'm called to speak on the cultivation of our essence and becoming aware of the detraction from the essence of what we are now, the essence of fullness and wholeness that we are now on the deepest level, and calling back all of our parts through action, through integrity, through presence, through love. Calling all of it back, reintegrating everything now. And sure, that takes time, right? Like, yes, we can perceive from a linear standpoint that there are certain experiences and invitations throughout our journey where we get to reclaim certain aspects in very beautiful ways, right? Certain initiations, whatever it may be. And also just on a micro level, like from a moment to moment standpoint, we have the ability to show up to our reality in a way where it's a constant cultivation. It's a constant return. It's a constant integration. So I'm not going to demonize linearity, because it's the only reason why I'm able to communicate to you right now from a somewhat mental standpoint. Although I'm trusting that, like, the cells in my body, like the resonance behind this whole thing, is speaking far louder than the words, despite, you know, the words being, you know, whatever. So we are in, and actually someone who, I heard recently someone use the term specifically. They said war for consciousness. And they used that term instead of spiritual war or, war for the soul, whatever. And war for consciousness was that was a very interesting choice of words, where I was like, I like that. And because here's the thing, it is our consciousness. We can consider our consciousness as the guardian, as the servant, as the protector of our essence, of the life that we are. Whatever it is that you value most, right? Like, you don't even have to, like, you don't have to be like me, where, like, you're constantly talking about inner union with God, and, you know, like, you don't have to use the same terminology as me, right? Maybe you're just listening to this podcast, and you're like, I just value love, I value peace, I value, you know, community, love, right? Connection, whatever. Like, that's great. I value those things too. You know, they're just reflections of, like, of my deeper, like, if I'm the really get clear, like. So here's the thing. We can consider our consciousness as the protector, as the guardian, as the servant of what is most valuable to us, what we value the most. What I value the most is my life, capital L. That essence of love, peace, freedom. And obviously what I value isn't limited to that, right? Because again, it touches many. It's like that seed of consciousness of me valuing life, capital L, my true nature, what I am in truth, that is the seed of consciousness for everything else that I value. It's why I value money, because I see it as a utility, as a tool that supports me in that grander mission and that grander North Star.
That's why I value, community and, all this stuff, right? Not all this stuff. Some of the stuff that I mentioned. Conscious, bring in some conscious language. So here's the thing. We can see that consciousness. We can see consciousness, like awareness, right? We could see that as the presence, right? We can see that as the protector, guardian, servant of what it is that we value most. And we get to be conscious, aware, and present with everything that is presenting itself to us in our presence. And through our deepest listening, and there may be some trial and error, there will be some trial and error and experience that comes over time, although in our deep listening and in asking the right questions even, right? It's like we get to approach it from a deeply intuitive and felt sense in addition to being logical about it. And it's like, is this truly, truly supporting my essence in a way that is undeniable? Or is it detracting from my essence? Am I being fragmented? Am I being pulled out of the seat of my soul? Am I being pulled out of my heart? Am I being pulled out of my body and into these phantom realities and timelines and basically pulled into something that's not really even here? That's not even really here. I've been there many times. Many, many, many times. And that's, again, we may not be perfect from a human standpoint, and there's trial and error, although there have been many times where I was real and far more than I thought I was. There are many times where I was fueling these, like, realities that were so much not in the now. Despite there being so much inspiration about it, or like whatever it may have been, it was almost like this chasing, this attachment to something outside of myself. Like, to really zoom out and look at it, that's what it was. Despite there maybe being like some, that's the thing. Like, for some things, there really may be an organic aspect involved in it, right? In the vision, in the dream, in whatever it is that's presenting itself to you. Although we get to exercise discernment in how based in reality it is, like how based in the now is it truly? I could get really deep into that. I'm not going to, though, so as to convey something as coherent as I possibly can. Yeah, I'm trusting that you, listener to this podcast, will always come to the conclusions in hindsight that are necessary for you in order to truly know yourself. And in doing so, or in being so, whatever, having more awareness around some of what enters your field, and just being able to be in right relationship with what is coming up. And so we are living in a reality, a co-creative reality, where there are there's a lot of mind. There's a lot of mind. One could say that there's not a lot of essence. I'll be careful when I say that, because there is a lot of essence. It's just that in many places and within many beings, essence is suppressed. Right? If you look at a big smart city, you'll see that there's concrete and technology everywhere. And how connected to your essence do you feel when you're standing there versus standing in the middle of a dense forest? Right? Look at school classrooms and how they suppress what is designed to come through children organically and to inform through them, instead of taking on information from outside of them and championing it and seeing it as the truth. Seeing it and treating it as the truth. So again, mind in these cases, in many cases, has come before essence. And so when it comes to this whole digital revolution and the AI and all of these things, we get to be aware, we get to exercise discernment, we get to be discerning about what is mind versus what is true. And again, bringing awareness to where is our mind, or where is our essence being detracted? Where are we being pulled out of our center, out of our core, out of our essence, out of our life, in a way where we're being pulled into maybe what one could consider a mistruth, maybe what one could consider a disservice to their true power, their true nature, their true freedom, true love. Where is their distraction, something that is pulling, like literally pulling the life out of the body and funneling some other creation, funneling some other creation, something that has a life of its own because it took yours? We could consider it in that way. Let's tune back in now to center. I invite you to breathe. and come into your vertical pillar, into your core, into your central channel that is now. You are now. You are here. And so it's this constant refocusing, recentering, bringing awareness to what is what may be attempting to pull me away from what it is that I truly am. To me, what I truly am, it is soulful. It is soulful. And there are certain things that call me into that. And certain things that may attempt to pull me away from that. And so therefore, I'm always being called into it whenever I am not, whenever I am perceivably not. And so the invitation is to bring razor sharp discernment to this world where there's an acceleration on both sides. There's an acceleration on both sides. So if we look at this war on consciousness, and again, war on consciousness means war for your attention. And if your attention is in the control of something outside of you, something that is not you, then that leaves the doors, the barn doors are wide open for anything that wants your God essence, the essence that you are. And also whatever wants to be created from that. Which is really just it's just that essence that just breathes itself outward, right? So it's not necessarily it's like that essence is full in of itself, right? Only reason why I'm doing this show right now in this moment is because I feel full enough and attuned enough with what I truly am. Like, I am centered, I am embodied enough to the point where, like, I can do this. And it's like it's just my essence breathing itself outward. It's not a detraction. It's not I have to do this so that people won't stop listening to the podcast. Like, it's not a mental thing. Mind helped me get here, although it's not a mental phantom timeline that's funneling my life energy into it with the hopes, with the assumption that it'll come back to me in some way. Because otherwise that would be what it is. And so there are many different factors involved in this detracting of our essence via distracted attention. There are many different factors involved with it, and we can look at it from so many different levels. And I embrace all the levels. I embrace the level of war on consciousness, spiritual warfare. I embrace it from the level of And whenever I say war on consciousness, spiritual warfare, I'm talking about something that is far beyond the 3D forces of control and manipulation, such as government, such as 5G, Wi-Fi interference, all that, like big pharma, genetically modified stuff, and putting stuff into our bodies, whatever it may be. I'm talking. Whenever I'm talking more on consciousness, spiritual warfare, I'm talking about something that is hyper-dimensional, something that is it's occult meaning hidden, occult means hidden. So it is in the unseen. It's considering that what we see in this physical reality is a very, very, very small portion of what is actually there, of what is really happening, of, maybe there's this assumption. Because, you know, it's like one can get caught into the 3D materiality of it, of like, oh, you know, there are all these, and there's no shame if you've thought this way. I have before, and there's no shame if you do think this way, although there may be an inclination to think it's just these government people on this planet who are, you know, seemingly doing these things to us, right? And they have these agendas, although it's like, there are forces, there are intelligences everywhere. Everywhere. Like, everywhere. You know what? So with the whole like alien thing, that's why I see validity and truth in the perspective that, you know, the idea of this alien invasion where aliens are coming to like raid Earth, that's a very like it's honestly illusory. It's an illusion. And so I'll give credit to Laura Matsu. Check out Laura Matsu on Instagram. Also check out her podcast that she does with Bernard Gunther. Something that she has said before, and that many people are on the same page with, is like the alien invasion happens through bodies. It happens through bodies. Through bodies, because it's consciousness. By delegating one's own organic intelligence and information, we're basically just tossing our shit up to grabs for anything to come and get it. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. Here's the thing. What do you trust? Every single person on this planet with your life. I'm talking every single person. Yeah, I think it's 8 billion at this point. Would you trust every meaning, would you let every single person into your home, hang out with them? You know what, like, I'm talking like, would you trust every single person on this planet with your life? Would you trust in their intentions? Would you trust in their consciousness? Would you trust in their mind? Yes or no? For me, absolutely not. It would be naive for me to trust all of these different intelligences. You know what I mean? And so the thing is like, okay, can we consider that these human brains that are accessing the mind on this planet, can we consider that like there is more beyond that? Because mind is not like limited to what we perceive as being Earth. You know, and there are more, there is just more at play, and it's not just these humans, and it's not even necessarily like I invite you to also drop the idea of like these physical aliens that are somewhere doing something. I invite you to drop the idea of like seeing like this physical thing. And my invitation for you is to drop into your body, into your heart, and as inspired, communicate with that which is breathing your breath and beating your heart, and communicate to the source of your life in a way where you know that you are in communion with what it is that you are seeking to connect with, to know connection with, to experience connection with. I invite you to pray in that way and to allow that connection to guide you. So for me personally, like, you know, I don't pray to Buddha, to Jesus, to, you know, whatever. I'm very clear and intentional in my prayer, in making it as clear as possible in every cell in my body that I'm speaking to the highest authority, that birthed the eternal life that I am. Like just the source of the living light that I am. Experiencing that in my body. And I'll say this, like whenever I started to actually pray in that way, instead of saying universe, you know, all these other vague things, I actually started to feel it in my body. And I was like, oh, like, I know this is the truth. I know I'm touching something true here. And even, you know, to this day, in my prayer, it's visceral. It's visceral. And that's how I discern the truth. I sense that it is different. I sense that it is the truth. I sense that it is pure. And that is my North Star. Life is my North Star because it is what I am. And so while it may seem like it's this linear destination, it's like I'm already at my work in this time space reality is to reclaim my aspects that for whatever reason, due to mind, I was outsourcing, that I was delegating, and that I was, you know, I was yielding to something else, to some other intelligence, to something that wasn't me. I'm sure you have had experiences before where you were, you either said something or you did something that prior to doing it, you knew you didn't want to do it. Like you already knew, you had the awareness. You're in for the information that was seeking to come through you from your source was overrided by you essentially allowed it to be overridden by something that was coming from outside of you. I'm sure you've had that type of experience before. I definitely have. And that's and so our invitation is to bring awareness, is to bring consciousness to what's happening there. And entering right relationship. Sometimes entering right relationship is through taking a certain action in order to correct it. sometimes entering right relationship is by putting your hand on your heart and saying a few soothing words to yourself and releasing the energy that was suppressed, the energy that wanted to do something different or whatever it may be, the energy that wanted to come through. Coming into right relationship it just looks different depending on what it is, right? Although we get to come into right relationship, we get to correct. We get to bring loving correction to all the detractions that came from the distraction. And so I was speaking about how we can see this detraction happening on many different levels and having many different factors involved in it. And so, you know, we can see it as the spiritual warfare, war on consciousness. We can see it as that. We can also see it as we can also see it on like the more 3D level of like psychological warfare and things that governments are doing and all that. We can see it from that lens as well. We can also see it from a level of trauma, like childhood trauma, and just trauma in general that has locked energy in the body. And whenever our energy, for whatever reason is, you know, based on the trauma, whenever that energy is locked in the body, then it's like that part of us, like that, it's like we don't have access to like part of our essence, like to part of what we really are. And so whenever that is void, there's a program, a template, a thought form, a pattern. There's something that takes the place of that. And in that energy is like it, one can consider it as funneling into that program. It's funneling into something else. So we can see it as trapped in the body, and we can also see it as like leaving our body. And on some level, we can really see it as both. I mean, you know, like this is a big conversation. We can see the whole. We can see the whole thing, right? From a physical standpoint, like from a physical trauma, emotional standpoint, we can see like trauma as being locked in our body and like, you know, all that. And whenever we actually like take the time to feel some of our emotions and all that stuff, it's like experiencing all these aspects coming back online and maybe taking certain actions and whatever, like just feeling some of these aspects come back online. And this is acknowledging that's very spiritual as well. And there are chords and certain things where it's like through certain action and through just, you know, feeling our stuff and whatever, like, we can like disseminate some of these chords, some of these programs, some of these unconscious agreements and patterns and templates and frameworks and reversals that are truly not serving our essence, our life, what we are beyond the mind. And so the invitation, especially as, and so I mentioned this earlier, we can see the acceleration happening on two different sides. We can see the the acceleration of one could consider it the acceleration of all things unholy. One could consider it the acceleration of artificial intelligence, meaning like just mind, and you know what's accessing the mind. And utilizing it,
having many different intentions that may not have your best interest at heart. The acceleration of, you know, just detraction from nature, from our true nature. I mean, if we look at like, if we look at our food, if we look at our environment, like, you know, the acceleration of the detraction from nature. So we can see, and just of God. Look at the media. Like, look at, you know, some of these music videos that you're seeing and what you're hearing. Like, there's an Instagram reel going around. It's like one of the sounds. And obviously, I'm sure some of you at least are well aware of, you know, the music industry and just the, you know, one could definitely consider the mainstream music industry as like the 3D factor that really plays a big role in the distraction, and removing ourselves from the seat of our soul and of our essence, and that's through the tone, that's through the frequency, that's through the actual words. The words which are spells and information, and informing our field on a subconscious and one could say, I'll say subconscious level. Anyway, there's this Instagram reel where there's a soundtrack or something going around where it sounds really cool. Whenever I hear the reel, like hear the soundtrack, I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty dope. Like, I would make that like a background in one of my reels or something. Cause it just sounds like it just sounds dope. You know what I mean? It's just a cool soundtrack. And if you actually go and look at the lyrics, it is it's dark. It's dark. It's stuff that I would just choose not to even say out loud. Like, it's just not even, it's like, whoa, like, I would definitely not post that. Like, definitely. I'm talking horrendous shit. And so, and we can acknowledge that, you know, mainstream music in general, there's a lot of that, you know, and not necessarily a lot of information that I would prefer to expose myself to, because in exposing yourself to certain things, this is a key point. What we expose ourselves to matters. What we expose ourselves to matters. Because a lot of exposure to certain things that are perhaps coded in a certain way that would make it easier for us to lose ourselves in it. That may not be a recipe. That may not be a winning recipe. That may not be supportive to what we really are. So it's about, okay, what are we exposing ourselves to on a regular basis? And so, again, this comes into the conversation of like, you know, AI. It's something to be aware of. It's just something to be aware of. Use your discernment. Use your discernment. And so, as I was saying, we can see the acceleration of that, what we could call an unholy timeline or whatever, the acceleration of that. Simultaneously, what I'm experiencing, what I'm observing also, is the acceleration of organic intelligence, of true embodiment. Like, my true essence occupying every cell in my body. And there's no external or seemingly external force or intelligence that is governing how my cells are moving. So, as that, you know, as that one timeline that I spoke of, the acceleration of the artificial, it's like, and of the disintegration, of the fragmentation, of the not knowing, like, you know, if one gets caught up in that, one can consider that as losing their soul. Literally losing awareness of yourself in the madness, losing awareness of what you are in the madness. And here's the thing, like, that has consequences that go beyond this body, because it's consciousness. So, And so this ties back into what I originally started this conversation with, is what does it mean to lose our soul? What I'll say is that my perspective is that it's not possible to lose what it is that we are, no matter, that's a key word, no matter what. Meaning what we truly are beyond all matter and perception can and will never die. The true essence of what we are, that spark, does not ever die. Period. Because it is merged with God. Although what can be lost is one's awareness and thus experience of what they actually are. Because whenever the essence is fragmented and shuttled off into all of these different routes and patterns and timelines and things, like, there's no substance there. I experience love as substance. I experience truth as substance. I experience God as substance. I experience soul as substance. I experience integrity as substance. I experience truth as substance. And there's a forgetfulness of substance whenever it's funneled into artificiality and all of these linear constructs, even if they're seemingly benevolent constructs, seemingly supportive constructs, right? Because some of these things that present themselves to us in our reality, in our hologram, can really seem innocent. They can seem benevolent. Right, they can seem like they're truly supportive, and maybe in hindsight they are, right? In terms of providing an opportunity for us to reclaim something, in order to remember something,
although we get to acknowledge that even some of the innocent and some of the benevolent things that present themselves to us are there's potential for distraction to happen, for detraction to happen. And I'm not going to say that there's a point of no return. I do think there's a point of no return when it comes to maybe like being in this body, perhaps, right? Like, I don't know. I can't say there's an absolute point of no return, because again, like, God's law, eternal law, like what God is, that is the authority, period. It doesn't matter what intelligences are operating beneath that, you know, beneath the Most High. What you are in truth cannot be destroyed or corrupted. What can is the consciousness, the awareness that as a seemingly individual being, as a fractal of source, it's possible that one can allow the consciousness to be corrupted. In a way that doesn't serve the true being. The true love. So, I'm going to leave it at that. My invitation is to, I already gave them. I already gave the invitations. Thank you for being here with me on this show. Thank you for listening. And we're gonna be rolling with some powerful podcasts coming up. So thank you for listening to the Righteousness and Reunion podcast. This is your host, Nick Walker, signing off.